So, do you guys know where we are speaking from now? This is not Liverpool, this is Gotham City. If I said we are speaking from Gotham City, what would you say?
Hello, people. You are listening to 1T1 Podcast, and this is your host for the day, Irene. And I have my co-host for today. Welcome, Nikki.
Hi.
So as you might be wondering, yes, Akhil is not with us today. He is busy with some work commitments. Hopefully, he'll be able to join us for the next podcast. So before starting the podcast, we would like to express our sincere gratitude for the overwhelming response that we received for the last episode. Right, Nikki?
Yeah, sure, Irene. Yeah, we have a lot of positive responses from across the globe.
Yeah, exactly. And so we are really glad that our podcast is reaching out to a wider audience. So considering the kind of feedback that we received for the previous episode, saying that we are getting a little too intense with the topics. So as per all of your demands, we have decided to take a little lighter episode today. So hopefully you'll all like it. Okay, so what we have in hand today is that, okay, as you might be, some people might already be aware, for others, me and Nikki are in the UK right now. We are doing our postgraduate, not doing, we completed our postgraduate studies last month during the pandemic. So for a lighter episode, we'll share our experiences, academic experiences and personal experiences as students both in India and in the UK. Okay, so let's get started. So to start, me and Nikki have studied two different streams. So I think the discussion will be really interesting today as well. So Nikki, to start with, what did you study and how was your journey from India to the UK?
Yeah, Irene, I did engineering for my undergrad. I went to college in University of Kerala in Trivandrum. I did electronics and communication engineering. After that, I had to start working in a different field. I was working in an IT firm mm-hmm. for almost 4 years as a user interface developer.
Mm-hmm. But That's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But honestly, before I joined the firm, I had no intention of taking that path. And I was involved in some other, let's say, entrepreneurship activities.
Okay.
And starting to miss all those experiences. Mm-hmm. And starting to question what my actual calling is. So that's why I decided to do business after 4 years of working.
That's really good that once you find what you actually love or where your interest lies, and it feels really good to start pursuing your studies for that. Do you feel that right now?
To be honest, the decision to change the career path after 4 years is very nerve-wracking. And even now, when we prepare a resume, I mean, fortunately, I have some leadership experience, but still, it's not enough. And it's really scary, especially considering the COVID situations to, you know, what will be the future, because a lot of people keep advising me to use my 4 years in IT to get IT job in UK and settle down, which I don't want to do. Mm. So let's see.
Yeah, so, that's a tough choice to make sometimes. So I understand.
Irene, contrary to my path, which took like different twists and turns, you were quite determined to be in the law field right from a smaller age, as I recall. Can you just share your journey?
Yeah, sure. Like I think, as far as I remember, I was 15 years old, I think, when I decided I want to do law. But I have no clue why I chose that I want to be a lawyer, because I think at least back home, at least in Kerala, I don't think advocates are someone whom the society consider to be a dignified profession or something. But I consider them to be dignified, especially when it comes to females. We have a lot of people saying that, you know, this is not the profession that is meant for females and everything. Mm-hmm. But things are changing right now. But at least when I chose to become a lawyer, there were a lot of people who were advising me as well as my parents who gave the consent to choose my favorite field. There were a lot of people who were saying not to send me for studying law. But still, I always believe that I want to be a lawyer, and I can, at least I love that. So I was pretty sure that I want to be a lawyer. So I was always focusing on being a lawyer right from my 9th or 10th standard. So yeah, I was, even until now, I haven't changed my decision. So after my schooling, I went to Pune and I completed my studies in one of the institutes that fall within the top 10 ranked law colleges in the country. So I studied my law degree from there. I graduated in 2019. It was a 5-year course. I did BALLB. So I graduated in 2019 and I had already started working as a lawyer. That's when I received a scholarship to the UK to do my master's, specializing in international law and human rights, which I really love. So yeah, that's how I ended up in the UK doing my master's. And yeah, looking back, it has been a really interesting journey, and I still have no regrets of choosing law and being a lawyer. So yes, Nikki, so my next question would be is that, so we both of us have studied, we graduated from India and we did our postgraduate studies in the UK. So how was your learning experience as students, considering the university and the professors and our fellow students? So how did you find, since you did business studies and I did law, as a business student, how was your experience? Then I can talk about how was my law experience.
So if we start from the academic experience, it itself is completely different. I think it's a bit more discussion method used here. And especially in business, there are a lot of value that each candidate imparts to the course. And usually we just take a topic. We have to read the theory before we come to the class. And then we talk about our experiences and things we read. And, you know, and in business, there is no definite answer. Like in technology, we do a calculation, we get a output, but we don't get that in business. It's so much dependent on a lot of variables, especially people. So that was one of the striking difference, like the way we think is completely different. And the students, of course, when I went to University of Kerala, and 100% of the students were Malayali, so there were no diversity in that part. But yeah, but even then, I had to appreciate that a lot of them, though Malayalis had a lot of at least a national level of exposure. At the same time, when we moved to my MPA studies, it's from candidates all over the world, not just based on locations, but also their cultural experiences. All of us were already exposed to multicultural work environments and came from different backgrounds. That's something that I would like to highlight, because...
Yeah, like you who came from engineering to business, there might be a lot of people who came from different backgrounds.
That's MPA, taking MPA after, you know, like engineering, especially in India, is considered as a career change. Oh, she's not into engineering, but that's true. But at the same time, if you take a broader look into the cohorts that we had, a lot of them came from such backgrounds. Like we have someone who came from a nursing job in NHS, and we have people who were like game developers, and they were all occupied in senior positions. So what happens is that whatever field you are in, after a certain time, you have to scale up to your leadership positions to be able to lead the company in a correct decision. So it's like, you know, combining your technical skills as well as being able to be a visionary and handle people as well. So that's where the MBA course comes in the picture. So I just wanted to put it out there to a lot of people who might be questioning if it's a right career choice. So
yeah, that's a really good insight. Even I had never thought about it that way. So it was really good to hear that from you.
What else is the difference, Irene? Let me see. Facilities. Maybe that we can share an insight, right? Maybe we'll come to that after you.
Yeah, that's a common thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So considering that I started in another state, so I was from Kerala, I started my law degree from Maharashtra. So I had it was a pretty much diverse college where I studied, considering that it was one of the premier leading institutes in the country. There were people from all over the country. So I literally had very few people who could speak proper Malayalam in my course. So it was a really diverse class. Even the professors, they were really knowledgeable people. So I'm glad that I was able to do a degree from one of the leading institutes. So I really had a good learning experience. So moving to the UK, while I was studying with people from all over the country, now I'm really proud that I studied along with people from all over the world. So because I was the only Indian in my class here, so I didn't have an Indian group to stick on to. So I was actually meeting people from Asia to Africa to the UK and everywhere. So it was a really, even our professors were really diverse. So all of them were from each different part of the world. So it was a really good learning experience. And considering that I studied topics like human rights and law, which is really brainstorming and stimulating things. So I had, while I was sharing experiences from India, someone else was sharing experiences from Africa or China or Thailand or anywhere. So it was a really, there was a lot to learn and contribute as well. Yes, and another thing was that our lecture, so that was one huge difference that I have to point out, because back in home we had a lecturer, a professor who's standing in front of you and teaching the chapter and leaving after that. So if you listen, you listen. If you don't listen, then that's the end of the story. But here we had almost all our classes were seminars. So we used to sit in, either we were divided into groups or we used to sit as a class, we used to sit, and it was like a discussion, either debate or a discussion. It was more like a seminar. So it was much more interactive. And I think things like law and maybe human rights and stuff like that should be discussed and learned in that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that will be really, your brainstorming activities to do from. That was one huge difference that I have to point out in how our education system is and how the education system elsewhere is. And after, especially, how was your mode of assessments? How would you differentiate between the mode of assessments back home and here? Because even that was another point of distinction that I had to majorly point out, because back home we only had exams and it was just crap, because I still remember how we used to study for exams. What we used to do, since, as I already mentioned, we are still following the syllabuses which our fathers or grandfathers studied. And we used to prepare for exams by looking at the previous 10 years question papers, because the question paper for us would be mostly the repeated questions. The most repeated questions from the previous question papers was the way how we were assessed. Which is sad. So people who are really studious and who really want to study, they will read into stuff, they will read everything and prepare well for the exams. Otherwise, if you just want to pass, then you can just refer to the previous question papers and study most important questions and you would still pass. But here, our mode of assessments were just presentations and seminars. I still remember we had no exams at all. We had only presentations and essays. And a master's dissertation as well, thesis paper, which I think was a really good way of assessment as well. It changes your writing skills, it changes your perspectives, your ideologies, your style of writing, your language, everything improves really a lot. So that was another thing. How was your mode of assessment?
Yeah, before I go to that, I have to pick a bond with the universities in India, adding to what Erin just said. I did engineering, right? So we have a lot of numerical problems in our exams. For that, for some reasons, we had to memorize a lot of formulae, and I hated memorizing formulae, and I hated subjects like chemistry because my memory is not that great. There were times when I had to derive the formulae from the concept that I know to solve a numerical problem. So this is something that I feel like is a major reflection, because most of the times I don't know why people have to remember formulae. Like, if you're working on an actual project, why can't you just list it down somewhere? And application is more important than remembering that thing, right? So
I still remember, like, the way we are assessed or examined, our marks depend on how much you can memorize and how fast you can write in the given period of time.
Yeah.
So whoever can do that wins.
Yeah, and I think because of that, the thought process of the students are not going very deep. They had to spend their energy and time in a different thing, which is not very important. So
yeah, as I said, how we study is studying for exams. We are not studying for the long term or anything. Okay, of course, there are people who study for their own benefit, but half of the people who just aim for a passing marks are studying just for the exams and not for any other purpose, which is disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, when the syllabus and the assessment is designed in such a way, it's like mandating the students to pushing the students to memorize the formula if they have to solve the numerical problems, which comes for like a majority of the marks. And that you have to remember that the course is engineering, where the graduates are later expected to design new things. So okay, so contrast to that, when I came to UK, one of the things that I love the most is our assessment methods, which is yes, like Irene said, we had assignments and presentations only. And when it comes to assignments, my best part is that there will be like one striking topic in a subject, in a module, where you like will be like completely interested in that. And it gives us an opportunity to go deep into that topic as well as apply it to like a case in a real life case to come up with the assignment. So I think that at least helps us find our interest as well. Like we can apply it, especially in MBA, like we can take a case from any industry. So whatever that I'm interested in, I will get an opportunity to dig deeper into that with the concepts that we were taught. So
yeah, but one thing which I would really like to point out is that this works well for masters, because we can focus on, we know what our interests are, so we can focus on that. But us undergraduates, I think exam works partly because we otherwise we won't study about everything. If we are writing an essay, if we are doing a presentation, we just know about that thing and we don't know anything about any other things. So, so that's why I always wonder, because as Indians, or as someone who studied in India, we know a lot of things. We have studied a lot of things, which I think most people does not know. Our knowledge base is really vast. So we have studied about everything, which half of the things I know that they are not useful at all, but we have touched upon a lot of things. I wonder that sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I remember still, we were having this conversation before with one of my friends over here, is that as students, as in school, we had studied about the seasons. It's a very simple, silly thing. We know about summer, winter, autumn, spring, everything. But as a kid, I used to wonder, what is autumn? What is spring? What is winter? Because I have only seen summer and monsoon. But we used to study all of that, you know, we used to just mug up all of that. So after coming here, now I know what is spring, what is autumn, what is winter and everything. So that's how our mode of education, or how we are being taught, which is good in one way, because we know all of that stuff. But in other way, it's just, you know, you are just force feeding a lot of stuff into the students.
Yeah, I mean, I have another follow-up question to what you were asking some time back, that you said as a bachelor's we learned a lot of things. I think a lot of courses do have exams here, but we were in a more
We were postgraduate, so we had only
postgraduates have exams, like some MSc, really? MSc management international business, they have exams. Not all exams, but some of them were actually designed for exams. But coming back to bachelor's, the question, I have a question. Is it important to learn a lot of things, or is it like more important to equip the students to utilize the things they can learn to apply it to a real life situation? That's something that I have always wondered.
I think you need both. It's important that you should be equipped really well for the practical. You need to have practical experiences, but I think you need to learn as well, because we don't know. I mean, things are evolving on a daily basis. So if you know stuff, then I don't know. I always like to have a really good knowledge base, but there is no point if you don't know how to apply them in reality as well. So I would say they should go hand in hand. But mostly our education system, most of the times they don't go hand in hand. We are just studying maybe just for the sake of exams, and it's done there. That's the end of the story. So if it's going well hand in hand, then I think that would be a really good learning experience for the students. What about you? What do you think?
This actually reflects my management mind. Like, our Indian system is criticized for being too know-it-all, and the Western is being maybe criticized for being too practical. But in the sense, like, we have something called allocation of resources. Like, we only have certain amount of time for a course. So in which going hand in hand is not always a very practical, implementable solution. So that's what I was thinking. What is the practicality? Maybe it is practicable. I mean, it's practical and we can come up with something to make it feasible. But I think maybe that's two different poles now.
Yeah, but I think if you have a really good professor who can give a learning experience to you beyond textbook, or and plus if you are yourself interested in that subject and you are you are really motivated to go beyond the textbook which the professor suggests you to read, so you, then of course your learning experience would be different, your knowledge base would be different. And plus, as I remember, as a graduate, we had this thing called internships. I don't know how many people will take it seriously, but if you take it seriously enough, then that is another way where you can learn a lot of practical experiences. Because I did law, and law as a subject is completely different. What you study in textbooks is not, I mean, if you study textbooks, you I mean, that's not something that you apply in court. The way the court functions, the way the court works, that is not at all taught in colleges or in universities. So but I learned practical experiences, because first thing, I was really curious to know about law. I was always, you know, that was my goal to become a lawyer. So I was always a curious student. So I myself signed up for a lot of internships. I visited courts. I saw court proceedings. So that is the way I acquired practical experiences. And I know that a lot of universities now have mandatory internships as part of their academic curriculum, which if you take it seriously, then I think that's a really good experience to learn practical insights.
Right. I think I also have similar line of thoughts, in the sense, like, instead of giving all the information from the uni, from the lecture, if they give the students the opportunity to get knowledge, like you said, internships and opportunities to, you know, work with people, to use libraries, to use, give them maximum exposure to information, but not probably mandate them to learn all of it, and then give them maybe like a guidance to how to apply whatever you know to situations. Maybe I think that would be the best thing that I can come up with.
Yeah, I agree to you that even just coming back to how we were assessed here, while I was writing an essay, I remember how much I used to read just to come write that essay. So that improves my reading skills, my writing skills, my thought process, everything. So I remember when I came here, I remember telling one of my friends that I have to write this essay, blah, blah, blah. So I remember them saying, it's just essay, you can just copy paste from the internet. But that's not how the things work. You have a lot to read. The essay would be like, you know, that will ask for our opinion. So I don't know about you, but as for my course, they used to ask for opinion because it was human rights related stuff. So they used to ask for our opinion. So if I should have an opinion, then first I should know about what the concept is. So I have to first read about the concept, and then I should read about what the opinions of the people are about this concept. So I'm reading multiple opinions. Then I should come up with my own opinion. So now you can imagine how much reading that an essay will be.
Exactly. Very similar lines in our assignments. Most of the times we would be asked to come up with solutions. So if we are like redesigning the marketing of a company, then we have to know about the current marketing strategies of the company. We have to know about the marketing theories. Then we have to come up with solutions for that. So all the work is completely original. There's nothing we can, whoever said we can get from the internet. No, that's not how assignments work. They make sure that all the assignments are like completely original and from our thoughts and what we learned, our learnings. My learnings will be completely different from my cohort's learning. The concept that I choose to use and she chooses to use is completely different. And that's what they want to see.
Yeah, exactly. So that was one interesting contrast between how we used to study back home and we study here. What else? What other remarkable experiences that you had here as a student in the university?
Okay. So as I said, one of the reasons that I decided to come back to a uni life is to experience in uni life and take a break from my 4 years work. So it was a little different from what I expected, but you know, I mean, that happened because I joined for the MBA course and because we had a lot of things happening in parallel with from the main campus. So, but in the main campus, we have a lot of things to look forward to. And I always try to take time to be involved in a lot of things like the student societies, the university guild. We have a wonderful library. We have two wonderful libraries. Been to both, love them both. A lot of resources, volunteer experiences. Yeah.
And adding to the library experience, like I remember once when the pandemic started, I think our learning was not disrupted at all because all of the resources were already available online. So we had access to almost all the books. Our lectures were already available on the virtual platform. So that was one good thing because, of course, they have the resources to maintain all of that. And that's one. And we are paying well for that. So that's one thing. But but still, it was not disrupted at all. Though that is one of the huge access to a lot of resources. That was one really good thing that I experienced over here.
Another thing that I noticed is that the kind of response we get from the personals, like whenever we have a query related to, I have sent in a lot of queries with respect to my courses. I changed my elective in between. They were really supportive, and all we have to do is, you know, reach out to them through an email and they'll take care of it. Immediate responses. I don't think it's that easy in
not at all.
India. The number of times people go to the University of Kerala to get their document is
exactly. That I should also point out how well the administrative department is in the university. There, it's properly sorted out. So yeah, of course, I know how many the vast number of people who are studying in Indian universities compared to here, maybe, but still, it is all well administered over here.
Right. I think if they start responding a little better, even if it takes some time, if they respond saying that we'll take care of it, maybe it will be a lot better experience for the students. That's what, I mean, it might take a week, but you know, if we immediately get a response that we'll get back to you.
Yeah, at least be pleasant.
Yeah, exactly.
I understand. Yeah. Even I was, I started in a really premier institute, but I was affiliated to the University of Pune as well. And I have had similar experiences. So yeah, it's all the same everywhere.
I think it's the customer care in India, but let's say maybe.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, so Nikki, so that was, I think, the academic experiences altogether we have really summed up well. So, but how was your personal experience moving to, okay, I don't know about you, but this was my first international experience. That was the first time I have moved out of the country. So how was your experience, personal experience, moving out of home, moving out of the country, settling down in a completely different city with complete strangers? So how was it? How did it personally affect you? And that too in the middle of a pandemic. So how was it?
Yeah, Irene, I would say this was a one of the biggest opportunities that I've ever got because first of all, I barely qualify for an MBA program because I like have bare minimum experience. It's basically based on work experience here. And most of my cohorts are like 10, 12 years experience. So, I mean, the first response was to moving here was going to my, to see my batch and see how senior all of them are, overwhelmed by the experiences they had, the exposures they had, and the learning curve. When they all have a lot of stories to say from their work experience, I barely had any. So the learning curve was also very steep. The other personal experience was the exposure to culture. To be honest, I actually tried to learn about a lot of culture even before coming here, but I felt so short of not having enough personal, I mean, like in-person experience with exposure to a lot of culture after I moved here. And because it's MBA, all of us have worked in multicultural, in a multicultural working environment, at least in remote. So, but still, the learning was not enough is what I learned. And personal life, moving away from home, that did not affect me much. Because after I graduated, I moved out of my home when I started working. And I've been away for almost 4 years. I know that I moved to a different continent now, but that did not affect me that much because it's like wherever I am, it's like, yeah, I'm alone. Personally, that I keep a calm about that. I mean, I'm not sure that it has.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I think that's really important. And I hope that, Nikki's point of view influences our listeners because I am really influenced by that.
Irene, what was your personal experience moving to a different country?
Oh, my personal experience, yeah, I think I was pretty skeptical as usual because, of course, I moved out of my home after my schooling because, yeah, for 5 years, I did my undergrad degree in Maharashtra. So I was away from home, but not technically away. This was the longest period of time that I have been away from home now, more than a year. My personal experience was really remarkable. I would really mark this 1 year as one of my best years with respect to all matters. It has evolved me really as a better person, and I can totally feel the difference between the 2019 September Irene and 2020 September Irene. As I previously said, during my bachelor's degree, I was interacting with people from all over the country. Now I am interacting with people from all over the world, which has really changed my perspective about everything. I think people should really move out of their home, not move out of their home maybe, but interact with a lot of people so that the world becomes much, much a broader place for you. You will feel that, okay, my home or my village or my city or my state is not my home, but the world is much, much broader place. Your perspectives evolve, your perspectives becomes much more broader. And I think it is really important. I'm still that person who recommends to any student who has just finished their school to just study in the best possible institute that you can, meet and interact with the best possible students that you can, because that will change you a lot. And if possible, move out of home, stay away from home. No, because I still know that I am a person who is still attached to home a lot, but moving out of home and staying on your own will make you much more independent and much more different person that you can't even imagine. It will evolve you as a person, and I think that is really important. The world is becoming a much, much more globalized place now, and we should all learn to become global citizens. And I think all of these experiences evolve you a lot. And much more importantly, I think after moving to the UK, this is the first time that I have started cooking on my own as well. So I have never tried cooking, and I thought, okay, this is such a boring job, and I never even imagined myself coming. And I mean, I always wanted to go and stay at a different city and experience different perspectives. But I learned cooking, and which I think it is a really essential life skill. So if not in the UK, I would never had this. I mean, I would have never learned this new life skill as well. And even I like the city. I like the people here. I have become much more culturally adaptable too right now. So, okay. So Nikki, I think we have almost covered a lot of things that we could possibly think of at the moment. So do you have anything that you want to share, or you want to tell people who not our listeners who are students or not students who are in their 20s like us? Do you want, from your experiences or from our experiences both academic and personal, do you have anything to tell them?
Yeah, sure. Irene, I think seeing different kinds of people here, like if you see Irene and I came from completely different backgrounds and had completely different journeys, that's exactly what I wanted to tell you as well. Your journey is only your journey. You should not compare it with anyone else's. You may be interested only in one thing, you may be talented in multiple things, you may be experiencing a career change but just, you know, just own your own life. Just go and get what you want in your life. If you want to go for higher education, just do it. If you want to change your career, just do it. And that's what I have to say. Work hard towards your goal. And about independence as well, like Irene said, I'm so glad that the youngsters of our generation is starting to own up their life a little bit more. I would totally agree with Irene when she says that you have to move out of your home, and parents have to start trusting people with their life decisions, so that teach them to not teach them, give them opportunities to take decisions for themselves at a younger age, so that in adult life they are not making the wrong decisions. But anyway, yeah, that's what I have to say. Like, own your life, guys. That's all I have to say. Don't compare your journey.
Yeah, Nikki, I don't think I have anything else to add to that. It's just the same things that I already repeat, as I already said, and that you said as well. Just make decisions for your own, prove other people that you are capable of being independent and capable of being making decisions for your own, and then everybody else will automatically trust you for that. Yeah, as I already said, just study in the best possible institute that you can, and take the best possible opportunities that you can. At least when I chose law, I was in fact super skeptical. I still have a fear of failure, that whether if this is the right choice for me or not, because I still don't have a backup option in case I fail. But still, when I look back, I have not regretted at all, and I think that will keep me going. If at some point of time, if I don't reach the success point where I see myself to be, at least I hope that I won't regret, because I studied all this while whatever I liked, I have only done whatever I loved or whatever I aspire to be. So I think that will, at least I won't have a regret at later point. So do that. Even if you fail, you will at least be happy that you have only did whatever you felt right at that point of time. So yeah, that's all about it. Okay, so before, I think that's the end of this podcast. So before wrapping up, we have two important special announcements for you guys. The first thing is that,
Do you guys know where we are speaking from now? This is not Liverpool, this is Gotham City. If I said we are speaking from Gotham City, what would you say? As we speak now, Irene, you do know that, right? The latest Batman movie is being shot like a few minutes away in the St. George Hall.
Yeah, but sorry, lockdown. So
lockdown. You can't see Robert Pattinson. Hmm. Are you a DC fan?
Not really. I'm sorry.
Unfortunately, I'm also not a DC fan. I mean, when I was a child, I mean, we start watching these superhero movies when we are really young, right? And DC was really dark. I did not enjoy that as a child. So,
are we too old for it right now? But we are just making the special announcement for everybody. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel good. When I saw that picture of the Batman on top of Liver Building, I was like, wow.
Yeah, it was really, it was super exciting,
Liverpool is like heavily, heavily affected by Corona now. We're in the highest alert state. And Batman movies being shot here.
Imagine we have a superhero around us.
Yeah, who has the name Bat in the
See, second announcement is that we have a very special episode coming up over the next week, so stay tuned for that. We are not gonna reveal any more about how special or what is special about it. For that, you have to keep listening to us and keep supporting us, and I'm all again repeating the same thing that I said in the beginning of the podcast, that we are really grateful for the overwhelming response that we received over the last week or over the last few weeks. So keep listening to us and keep supporting us. Keep let us know your feedback and what were the important takeaways that Nikki's and Irene's life experiences gave you. I don't think this is not an advice or anything, but just it was more like getting to know each other better as well, and getting to you. I hope you really liked it, and I hope you also got to know us better. So yeah, then shall we wrap up here, Nikki?
Sure, and thank you so much for hosting this episode as well.
Okay, all right then. We'll see you in the next couple of weeks with a very special episode, hopefully. That's it. Have a good week until then. Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye.